There are a couple interesting details about this miracle that Jesus works in the gospel today. And the first is how he works the miracle. You know, it's a little unusual how he does it. He puts his fingers in the man's ears, and then spitting probably on his own fingers, he then touches the tongue of the man. And so he touches him in a very personal way, but you know, that probably wouldn't meet modern standards for care in a hospital or a doctor's office. You wouldn't expect your doctor to spit on his fingers and then touch you. So it is a little odd to see that. You know, saliva was believed at the time to have healing properties, and apparently it does have those. But that's one of the interesting elements about the miracle today. And the second element is what this miracle means in light of the first reading, which was a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And the prophecy from Isaiah says that the ears of the deaf will be cleared and the tongue of the mute will sing. And so by working these miracles, these are the exact signs that fulfill the prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. But what's more interesting is what Isaiah says is not that when the Messiah comes, he's going to work these miracles. What the first reading says is that these are signs of God and what he will do when he comes to save his people. So by working these miracles, Jesus is not only revealing himself as the Messiah, but he's revealing his divinity. And the Jewish people who were familiar with the prophet Isaiah would have recognized that these are signs of God coming to save his people. So that would have made a profound impact on them understanding the context from the prophet Isaiah. But as we look at the way that this man was healed, you know, why did Jesus heal him in this way? And I think it's important for us to recognize that this wasn't just some random person coming up and touching this man to try and heal him. Yeah, that might have made him a little uncomfortable if it were just some random person. The hand that touched him, that touched his ears and his tongue, was the hand of the divine architect. You know, the same person who formed this man in the womb and the one who was holding him in existence and every part of him in existence at every moment was the one who was reaching out and touching him. So it was the creator touching his creation. And because he is the creator and the God of all things, he has supreme and total authority. And so there's nothing strange or unusual about him reaching out and touching his own creation. You know, if we think about when we receive Holy Communion, this is our Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth, who we receive on our own tongue. And this is our God and our Lord coming to us and touching us and nourishing us in a very unique way. But he has every right to do so, because he's the one who holds us in existence at the very center of our being. You know, for someone who is mute, even if the physical impediment was healed that prevented him from speaking, he still wouldn't have been able to talk. You know, if you think about what's necessary for someone to talk, they would have had to have knowledge of the language, which he wouldn't have had because he was deaf. And he wouldn't have had the muscle memory and the ability to form the sounds that are part of our language. You know, if you think about teaching a child to speak, it takes a long time for them to learn how to pronounce words correctly. So when our Lord healed him, he would have had to infuse in his mind a knowledge of the language. And he would have had to infuse into his very muscles the ability to pronounce words properly, so that this man could instantly speak. And so I think that's very powerful to reflect upon how our Lord would have had, what he would have had to do to actually heal this man and allow him to speak. And that's part of why the people would have recognized that this was truly an act of God. You know, this miracle is incorporated into the rite of baptism. You know, when a child is baptized, A priest will touch the child's ears and make the sign of the cross over them and the child's lips. We call it the Ephphatha prayer, which is the words right out of the gospel, be opened. And when the priest does that as part of the baptismal rite, he's not giving the child the ability to speak physically or to hear physically. But what he's doing is, through the power of Jesus Christ, the ability is being infused into that person to be able to hear the gospel and to recognize it as the truth and to recognize it as the word of God and the ability to speak the faith. You know, because of the fall, our nature is fallen, and we aren't always able to clearly hear and discern what's true and what's false, what's good and what's evil. You know, our perception is distorted. And oftentimes, people will commit sin. You know, we can see this in the people around us. You know, people committing sin all the time, and they may not even recognize it as being wrong, because oftentimes our deception is so distorted. But in our baptism, the hand of God touched us and enabled us to be able to hear and to discern truth by infusing into our intellects the ability to recognize the truth and infusing into our wills the ability to embrace that truth and live by it. And so that helps us to be able to live as Christians and not be swept away by the errors and falsehoods that afflict us and so many people around us. And so what can we take away from today's gospel? I think there's two things we can take away from the gospel. And the first is that there is nothing greater that we can do for ourselves and for our families and for those that we love around us than to bring people to Jesus Christ and to bring people to the practice of the faith so that we can experience the power of God who reaches out his hand to heal us in a way just like he did in the gospel, but even in a more profound way because he heals our intellects and our wills. You know, so do we not want every single person that we love and care about? And do we not want ourselves to experience that healing power of God? You know, Pope John Paul II once said, open wide the doors to Christ. And so I encourage us to let Christ enter, to joyfully and trustingly allow the hand of our Creator to touch us and to cleanse us and to purify us. And so the first thing that we can learn is the preeminence of seeking Jesus Christ and allowing him to be the center of our lives. And the second thing I'd encourage us to take away from the gospel is the importance of us cooperating with the grace of God. Because Jesus Christ is not going to work against our free will. He works in accord with our free will. And so it's important for us to allow Jesus Christ to touch our minds and our souls and to allow him to purify and elevate our thoughts and our words and our actions. And part of that is by accepting the teachings of the church in their totality. You know, not picking and choosing what we will obey and what we won't obey, but embracing all of it. Because if we pick and choose, we're putting an obstacle in terms of the grace of God working within us. But when we accept the teachings of Jesus Christ and what he's revealed in its fullness, that removes the obstacles so that God can work through us and transform us. And so as we reflect upon today's gospel, we reflect upon how in our own baptism, Jesus Christ, the hand of God, touched each one of us. And we pray that we might cooperate with that and allow our Lord to continue to purify and elevate us, just as he healed the man in today's gospel.